All right. How are we all anyway? All right? It's good. Had a good holiday? Who has not had a holiday yet? There is a few hanging out for that. 2016. It's a new year. But in some ways, though we think about a year, I want us to also be thinking about a day today. That today is a new day. Just like tomorrow will be another new day. And sometimes we get so focused on this idea that, oh, a year is coming to an end, and we look back at what was achieved over the year and maybe get encouraged or discouraged. And we come into a new year and we look ahead to a whole year, and sometimes that's overwhelming. Some of us made New Year's resolutions. Who made New Year's resolutions? Oh, they're a thing of the past. The people who are slowly putting their hands up like that, that's because they broke them already and it's only the 10th. Okay, but that's okay. Because that's what normally happens. It happens every year. It's like you pick up the newspaper and it says there's been storms everywhere, and it's on the front page of New Zealand Herald saying storms everywhere, campers distraught, all that sort of stuff. And you just go, why is everybody surprised? It happens every year, doesn't it? Pretty much. And they forecast it like 2 or 3 days before, saying campers go home. Everyone stays, the tents get ripped, and then they get upset. It's like, so I'm not sure. Anyway, but thinking about, you know, a year ahead and looking at a year past, one of the things I'd like us to think about as we go through today and this talk is that, in fact, today is a new day, and how I live today is actually really important. The year ahead is the sum total of a whole lot of days, and each day is a new day that needs to be looked ahead at with maybe fresh eyes. But having said that, what I want us to do is instead of look back on how yesterday went or how last year, 2015, went, is to look way back further than that, because I think a long look back on our story helps us look at today and the year ahead. I don't know what, you know, your last year was like. Your last year might have had some real highs, some real lows to it. For me, one of the highs for me was that I knew that I was turning 50 last year, and I had this thing that I was determined to run in a significant place during the year of my 50th birthday. And I didn't know at the beginning of the year where I would end up during the year, but I ended up in China, and I got to run on the Great Wall of China, both the old broken down wall and the restored wall, the illegal one and the legal one. You paid to get on both, by the way, which I'm not quite sure how the illegal one works, that you still pay to get there. But that was pretty cool. And then I set this other goal, which was to run from my home, which is sort of one of my favorite places, to Raglan, another favorite place, and home again, to do that on my 50th birthday. So I did that, 90 kilometers on my birthday in November. I haven't run since. I just figured that's it, done now. Mainly because the body can't run anymore. It's like I stuffed it that day. So there were some real highs for me last year. Like, it was a pretty cool year for me in lots of ways. But there were some lows for me too. Some things were tough. Not so much for me, but people who are close to me. Good friends who were diagnosed with sickness, and a good friend who lost his loved one, and it was tough watching on. A good friend ended up in prison, and these are people really close to me, and I found 2015 emotionally like a roller coaster of just watching people who were close to me going through really tough times. Found that really hard. But I tell you, one of the things that as I look back on the year past that I believe helps me each year and is certainly a help for me in every day of my life is that if I look back further than a year, like I'm talking about a long way back, right back to my beginning, and not just my beginning like when I popped out into this planet, but the beginning of all of us, our origin to creation, what I find there is a truth that I have faith in that helps me be who I am in 2015, 2016 to come, and even today. And what we want to do over this series in January is we want to look at our faith and look at how who we are and how we live comes out of what we believe. And we're just going to look at four basic beliefs of our Christian faith and consider how they might shape who we are, our very being. And so today's one is to take a long look back, not just a day back, a year back, but like a universal lifetime back. And so we're going to be in Genesis 1. So if you need a Bible to follow, just chuck your hand up And I'm sure that someone, Ben, will get you one of those. So anyone need a Bible to follow today? Yep, cool. Thanks, guys. Just throw your hand up. Ben will get you one. And we're going to actually start in Acts 17 is where we're going to begin. Because we're looking at the creation story about this first big idea is that you and I are created. It's one of the core truths of the Christian faith, is that you and I are created by God. And as we go to look at the story in Genesis, Genesis means the beginning. And it's a book, the first book of the Bible, the beginning book in the beginning of the Bible, about the beginning. We're going to go into a lot more depth on that later this year, in 2016. It's one of the books that we're going to study. But as we look back just briefly at it today, it contains a story that is considered today very controversial. And there would be a lot of other alternative stories to this story. But our Christian faith is founded on the Bible, which we believe is God's word for us, and at the beginning of it is a story of our origin, of where we began. And so that's what we're going to look at today in Genesis. But we're going to start actually in Acts. So Acts 17. Humanity's always been interested in its origin, always wanted to know where it comes from and how we got here. Because somehow our origin gives us meaning for why we are here and gives us purpose for what lies ahead. And this was no different back in ancient Greece. St. Paul, an apostle of Jesus, he was traveling through ancient, what we call nowadays Turkey, and then he came through to Greece and he comes to the great city of Athens. And as he's in the city of Athens, he notices that the people there are incredibly religious. In many ways, they're just like people the world over, even till today. They're people who are looking for, where did I come from? Why am I here? What is my life about? They were looking for their origin. Verse 22 of 17, Paul stands up in the meeting of the Areopagus and he says, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." And then so what Paul does, he says, you're religious, you're looking for reason and meaning, and you've even so concerned about knowing that you have it, that you've decided out of all these reasons and meanings we have for life, we might have got it wrong, so we're going to have a reason and a meaning that's to the unknown God, just in case we got it wrong, so that we don't get it wrong. So sort of a pretty loose sort of approach. And he goes, that very thing, that point of ignorance, I want to actually disclose that to you. I want to tell you what that is, who that is. Verse 24, he says, "This is the unknown God. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed everything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." So Paul is introducing this idea that there is a God. There is an entity, an identity, a personality who was the reason for all of creation and the reason for humanity, the origin of humanity. And he's saying, and this is the one that gives life, breathes life into all of us. And he's really introducing them to the story of Genesis. So let's just go back there. First book in the Bible, first page, Genesis 1. And Genesis 1 begins with the first verse. It's really simple, and many of you know it. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And then there's this an account in Genesis 1 of the creation of the universe. But it begins with God. But the part we want to focus on today, and we'll come back to more of this Genesis details in the series later this year, but for today, I want you to go down to verse 26. And so this is the sixth day of creation, and God says this. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And then if you go on to the end of the chapter, verse 31, "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day." What we find in this brief account of the creation of the world is that the creation of humanity is the climax. For the Hebrew people, as they had the story read to them over and over and retold to them over and over again, I can imagine them hearing it, you know, maybe for the 10th time or the 100th time, and they're hearing, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah, we've got that. And let there be light, and there was light. And there's the creation of all these amazing things, the land forms and the water forms and all the different creatures. But I can imagine as the Hebrew listener would be leaning in, there would be an excitement about verse 26. Because that's where suddenly this epic story became their story, became our story. That somehow suddenly this cosmic supreme deity God, who's creating such a vast universe, suddenly, like, it's almost like there's a whisper, there's a coming in close, and there's a conversation that we listen to where this almighty God suddenly says, hey, let us make mankind in our image. And there's some strange words in there. And I can imagine the listener or the reader, you know, who's heard it a whole lot of times before, is just excited going, yeah, this is where we started. This is our origin. This is where we began. This is my family tree starting right here. But there's something even deeper there that's going on. And I think it resonates with our human soul of wanting to know origin and beginning and belonging. And that's this, that this point of creation starts with a conversation. And you've got to ask the question, who's talking right here? Like, up till now, we've known that there's God and there's some spirit hovering over the waters, and God speaks, let there be, let there be, let there be. And this is good, this is good, this is good. But suddenly here he goes, hey, let us. Who's us? Who's he talking to? Let me and the moon? Some would say, let me and the angels. Who's he talking? Let us make mankind in our image. In the image of the moon? In the image of the angels? No. It's like, is God talking to himself? Let us make mankind in our image? God is talking to himself. And as you go on through the Bible, what you discover is this mystery that though God is declared to be one, within God there's like a relationship. In fact, God is known as three. As we go on, we read of God being a Father in heaven. We come to the New Testament and we suddenly meet Jesus, who's declared to be fully God and named Son of God. And then even in the first chapter of Genesis, we're introduced to the Spirit of God. Later on, named the Holy Spirit, who also is fully God and is said to be God who comes to live within us when we trust in the Lord Jesus. And so here you've got this conversation where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who are at work in creation, are suddenly saying, hey, let us together make something really special. Let's make a creature that's like us. That's like us. If you wonder how that all fits, you know, where's Jesus in the story? Just scoot across to Colossians. The letter of Paul to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 1. We're on page 821, if you're following in here. It says this, verse 15. Colossians 1:15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. You see that? And you can go on to read right down to verse 20. It talks about who Jesus is. It talks about God being pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. Jesus is fully God. This is telling us that when you read Genesis 1, Jesus is there. And Jesus is saying, hey, Father, Spirit. And the Spirit's saying, Father, Son. They're saying, hey, let us make humanity in our image to be like us. And so we were made to be like God. And what I think's amazing is that as you go on through the Bible story, what you find is that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are in a permanent, loving relationship. And we were made in their image to be in permanent, loving relationships. Like you go back to our origin, you go, where did we come from? We came from God. Why did he make us? Well, he chose to make a creature that was like him, to represent him in his universe. And if we're like him, how are we like him? We're relational beings, more so than any other creature that's been created. You think about some of the relational characteristics that we have, things like compassion and courage that you don't find in the animal world. We're very unique relationally because we're created in the image of our God who is relational, Father, Son, and Spirit. I love Genesis 2. It's like at Genesis 2, after God having the story of God creating the universe, the writer, possibly Moses, brings us focusing in. He sort of takes us back to day 6 and he focuses in and says, have a look closely at how God made humanity, how he made the first man and the woman. And there's this amazing story where God, who has said everything is good, he creates man and woman and he says it's very good. And then in chapter 2, it explains how he created them. I love the fact that God gets hands-on. That as God creates, it talks in chapter 2 that he fashions the man, forms the man in his likeness out of the dust of the earth. It's like up till now, it's like God's just speaking. But if you put the two chapters together, Father, Son, and Spirit saying, let us make humanity in our image. And then it's almost as if, I don't know whether it's Father, Son, or Spirit, or they all get in there together, but they take the dirt of the ground and they form a man out of it. They fashion a man out of it. There's something hands-on. There's something connected there. Where not only are you and I, when we read that story, deeply connected to the earth. Did you know that? We are deeply connected to the earth. We came from the earth. Some of you don't think so. Some of you hate gardening. Like you do not want to be connected to the earth. But we are. We're so connected to it. And in many ways, our life comes from the earth, doesn't it? When the earth is arid and dry and it's dead and loses its nutrient, we starve. We come from the earth. But not only is that a connection for us, not only is humanity connected to the earth, but it's God who formed us from the dirt. We are deeply connected to him. Deeply connected. And as he makes man, what's interesting is he makes man, this guy called Adam, which means the first man. And he says something for the first time. He says, this is not good. Everything's been good so far. He produces the man, and he goes, this is not good. Some of you already know that. You know, all the ladies in the room, you probably go, well, I knew that that would be the case. Like, that, you should have made the lady first, made the man first. But you know why? Because the man was alone. Now, why was it not good for the man to be alone? It goes back to the origin of man. Man was made in the image of God, but to be in the image of God was to not be alone because God was a relational being. And so God takes the man and he says, well, I'll introduce you to a whole lot of new friends. So he brings all the animals to the man, tells us in chapter 2. And the man names all the animals, but he doesn't find amongst them anyone who's a compatible partner. And it could even be that as they all come to him, he notices that they've already got partners. And they sort of match in a kind of way. They're different but the same. Each pair different but the same. And so God puts Adam into a deep sleep. And once again, the story is interesting. God doesn't say, behold a woman. He puts the man to a deep sleep and he takes a rib from deep within the man. And he forms a woman out of the rib. You see this idea again that God is forming. God is hands-on. He's deeply connected to this part of his creation. So he's formed the man out of the dust. He forms a woman out of the same, the rib. It's part of the man, part of the dust, the same, but different. And then there's this cool picture at the end where he's like the dad on the wedding day, where he comes with his daughter, as it were, Eve, and he presents her to the man. And the two become one. And in this beautiful ceremony. And they enter a permanent, loving relationship. And God sees that, and it's very good. Very good. You see, we are created by God. You know what all this tells to me? It tells me three things about who we are, about being created, about what we believe. The first is this, is that my origin is in God. Like, he's my source. He's where I come from. It also tells me that my purpose comes from him as well. And this is my purpose. My purpose is to love. I know people talk about the ultimate purpose of humanity is to glorify God, and I agree. But how does one glorify God? By loving. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says this, love God and love your neighbor. What is the greatest purpose we have that comes from our origin of being created in the image of God is to be people who love as God loves. But then it also tells me this, not only is my origin that I'm created by God and my purpose is to love God and others, but that I'm hugely valued because the reason I'm able to love is because he loves me, deeply loves me. And I want to look at those three ideas now. When I was about 8 years old, I got given this watch. Not this watch, but a watch very similar. It was an Olympic watch. I was so excited. It was my first ever watch. You know the first thing I had to do with my watch? Who can tell me the first thing I had to do with my watch? What's that? Wind up? No, put it on my wrist first. Yeah, no, I did actually. I had it, and I remember my dad saying, you've got to wind it up. I'm like, why that? And he goes, well, when you wind it up, inside are all these little gears and things, and they all whiz around, and this thing tightens up, and I don't know how that works. And you wind it, but when you're winding it, wind it while it's smooth winding, but as soon as it feels a little bit tight, ease off, and your watch is wound up. Who here has never wound up a watch? Look at that. Who's wound up a watch? Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. So you wind up this watch, and then you put it on your wrist, and you have a listen. It's going tick, 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 tick. And the tick, tick, tick isn't some cool audio electronic digitized thing to sound like a watch. It is a watch. It's all the parts moving inside the watch. It's very, very cool. Now, there's a little bit of a problem when we come to this idea of being created. Even for those of us who believe that God created us. But whether you believe in creation only or evolution only or a hybrid of the two, I think often the way we actually think and therefore live is a little bit like my wind-up watch. It's almost like, well, somewhere it had a beginning, and whether it was nobody wound it or somebody wound it or God made it and wound it, it's all wound up and it's all ticking on. And life ticks on. And almost as if we can come even as Christians with a Christian faith to the Bible and read, yeah, God created it all, and he's wound it up, and now he's left it going, and he's watching on, and hopefully it will all just tick on and keep time. And as you know, though, sometimes a watch can break down. And maybe every now and then within creation we see something break down, or within us something breaks down, but we still think of God like almost like the watch winder, you know, winding up. Now, last year I got given this cool AS watch. Actually, it was the year before now. I got given this TomTom watch, which is just over a year old now. And this watch here, you do not have to wind it up. That's cool, eh? But because it does so many different things, you have to plug it in all the time. So I'm plugging it in as much as I used to wind up. Like, what's with that? Like, I've had other digital watches, and they go for years without having to do anything. But anyway, what's cool about this watch is I think this watch is a step closer to the idea of creation and God having created me. Because with this watch here, I can actually know where I am. Like, I have to plug it in my computer to know, but if I set it going, it's a runner's watch, and I set it going for my run, it actually maps my GPS of exactly where I'm going, like by the meter where I'm running, and then I can bring it up on the computer and see where I've run, and it can tell me how fast I'm going, and it can tell me how many what's the thing, calories I've burnt, which is really good. This helps you eat way more food because you go for a long hard run and it says you've eaten 2,500 and you can just go and pig out. It's really good. It also has a little device thing in the back of it here, which is really cool. And this little light shines here and goes in and out of here on my blood, on my what do you call it? Your veins things and my pulse, and it can measure my heart rate. It actually knows what my heart's doing. And when I think about God having been the creator, he's not like the wind up, the Olympic. It's much more like the TomTom, like personal trainer, where he actually knows what's going on with my heart. He knows where I am, you know, and he knows how fast I'm going and how much energy I have and I'm using. There's a lot more of an intimacy there. And this is what I think David's talking about. Go to Psalm 139, because the creation story is throughout the Bible. And it's a really core part of our faith, but we need to sort of read all the different pieces about it to really understand how important it is. So Psalm 139, David's got the song he's written, but if you go down to verse 13, this is what he writes. And, you know, I believe that there was a time when God created Adam and Eve. And then Adam and Eve had kids who had kids who had kids who had kids. And eventually my mum and dad got together and they had kids. And here I am. So in some ways, I'm the result of just that time ticking on, you know, and biology doing its thing all the way. But God is involved. Look at this. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. Do you get that? That's a core of our faith, is not only did God create us and set this universe in motion, but he created you and he created me. And it's pretty easy for us to go, oh, yeah, he sort of did in that by default because he created Adam and Eve, but really it was my mum and dad made me. They did the deed and here I am. But you know what David's saying? He's saying, no, even then in your mother's womb, God was there. And he was knitting all that together. He was forming that. And then where we were before, Acts 17. Paul speaks about God's involvement. Verse 25. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. So you think, oh yes, from one man, Adam, then all the nations. Yeah, that makes sense. Time's ticking. But then he says this, no. He says, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God was still intimately involved in the times and places that humanity would live. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. God throughout history has been the same as in the garden, wanting to be hands-on, wanting to be with us, wanting to be in relationship. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. You see, God, he's not just our creator, but by being our creator, he's another word which we don't use a lot nowadays, but he's our sustainer. As a creator, he's actually present with us, giving us life each day. I think of this to do with the watch thing, okay? So you've got like my Olympic watch, the wind-up model, and then you can go to the mod watch, which is sort of like personal trainer. But that day I went to do a 90K run. The reason I haven't run since is that at 70 Ks, I pulled a muscle in my lower leg. So I was up on the divvy from Raglan, and I couldn't put my foot hardly on the ground. And so I took drugs, legal ones, and I packed ice. and I hobbled to the bottom of the deviation. And then my friend met me out there. Her name's Jo, and some of you know Joanne. And she'd organized to come out after work to run the final 15 Ks, 16 Ks with me to home. And I've got to tell you that when you've pulled a muscle and it's stabbing pain, your watch does not help. It must have been an Olympic wind-up one. It was useless. And I had my support crew with me, Lorraine and the boys, but Joanne ran behind me, just behind me. And as I ran, she was saying to me, get your head up, get your head up. Don't let your head drop down. Get your head up. Look, look, get your shoulders back. I'm like, my shoulders aren't down. She says, yes, they are. Get them back. You're focusing on the pain. You've got to get your breathing. And so she was just talking me through and talked me through all the way home. Much better personal coach than a watch, you know. And I think of that with God. It's like he wants to be hands-on in our lives, and he is. And he can be right there beside us and with us as our creator. And this was his design. I think of this like, so this is, if my origin is that I'm created by God, think of these thoughts. God gave me life. He gave you life. Like the very fact that you were born, you came into this planet, is that that was a gift to you from God. And God gives you life. And God gives you today to live. Have you thought about that, you know, in a while? Have you woken up and gone, thank you, God, that you gave me today? My life is from you. Now, here's why I would say that. Look at these parallels. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. See that? Then look at Psalm 139:13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Do you see that it's the same story? The original story is our story. He's hands-on with us. Look at Genesis 2:7 goes on to say, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. What does Paul say in Acts 17? Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Our breath of life comes from him. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He gave me the breath of life. So that's my origin. Now, this is my purpose. Because I'm created in God's image, this God who is in permanent loving relationship, that's my purpose. I'm created to love. I'm created to love God, and I'm created to love others. That's my very purpose. You know, you can look back like last year and go, oh, so how did last year go? Oh, yeah, I went to China, ran on the Great Wall, ran to Raglan back. Oh, yeah. So how did you go loving people? Because that's why you're here on the planet. Were you compassionate? Were you kind? Were you patient? Were you generous? Did you stand up for justice? Did you love God and love mankind? John would write this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse 11 of 1 John 4, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. And the last point, I think, of our origin and our purpose is this, and this is, I think, what's most precious, is my value. God loves me. God loves me. And here's the thing, is that though I'm created, next week we're going to consider this next slide. We're going to consider how that we're broken. God loves me enough to not leave me as I am, but to reach out and restore me to his image by the death of his son and the transformation of his spirit. And we're going to consider that whole progression of ideas this month, that we're created, but that we're also broken, but that his love for us is so great he did something about that. 1 John 4:9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his son, his one and only Son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So I've got some questions to finish today off, okay? And they're real basic, but they're real broad. And I don't know where they lead to as far as the conversations and answers that might come. But how might knowing I'm created by God shape the way I see Him and myself and others? I'm not talking about how might knowing that God is the creator, or that God created the world, or that God created Adam and Eve, but how might knowing that God knit you together in your mother's womb and breathed life into your nostrils and gave you the gift of today, how might that change how you see Him? How might it change how you see your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents, your neighbor, your friends, your workmates? How will it change the way that you will see others? How will it change the way you see yourself when you look in the mirror? You know what? Because if it's just a wound down clock, then some of us know that we're here because we were a mistake. Some of us are here because of an accident. Some of us may feel that we're unwanted and have no value. No one of us is a mistake. Every one of us is of extreme value because every one of us were knit together in our mother's womb by the Creator. And we are of huge value, and He deeply loves us. How does that change the way that you might see yourself in the mirror tomorrow morning? I praise you, God, because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your thoughts are so precious towards me. Could this and should this change the way I respond to life and the people around me, and how? It's got to change us. If we really believe that we are created by God in His image to love Him and love others, it's got to change us. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to have an application part of the sermon today. Okay, we're finished now. But what we're going to do each week is just allow time when we go out and we've got the sausages cooking out there for a sausage sizzle. You can help yourself to. Tea and coffee is going to be on. And want to encourage you to make use of this time well. If the best thing for you today is to catch up with a friend who you haven't seen for a while, just do that. There may be somebody you know here at the moment that you want to catch up with and pray with because you know maybe they're going through a tough time right now. Do that. But I want to encourage you with this. Is that out on the tables, there's some little cards with these questions on it and with some of the text on it that we've been reading. And I want to encourage you to ask one another these questions. To actually go, hey, you know, so from what you heard today, how might that change how you see life? How might that change how you act? And actually have a conversation about that. Like, make time for that today. And I know sometimes that can feel awkward to start. Well, so what we've done is to make it less awkward is we've got a card. So you can just pick the card up and go, okay, which question do you want? You know, and you can just hand it up. You can just get around the card. But I encourage you to do that. We're going to take a few minutes to get the sausages going, get the tea and coffee going. But as you wander out, sit around a table with some people, grab a card, and just ask these questions. Because what we believe has to have an impact on who we are. And how we see God, and how we see ourselves, and how we see each other.